All right, we're up to Genesis chapter 10, and we get to some more genealogy. Before reading the genealogy part, let me just say that it's divided up between Shem, Ham, and Japheth. This is the three children of Noah, except in reverse order. Japheth is mentioned first, and then Ham, and then Shem. And Ham probably gets... Ham is more familiar to the people of Israel when Moses would have written this. Japheth would have been more distant. But there's very little in here except names, but then we'll go and get a little bit beyond that, and then it's a lead up into chapter 11. So verse 1, Genesis 10, this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tyrus. Sons of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarmah. The sons of Javan were Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. From these, the coastland peoples of the Gentiles were separated into their lands, everyone according to his own language, according to their families, into their nations. The sons of Ham, so this is the second son mentioned, were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. Sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Ramah, and Sabtica. And the sons of Ramah were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, and therefore it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar. From that land he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth, Calah, and Resen between Nineveh and Calah, that is the principal city. Mizraim begot Ludim, Anamim, Lehamim, Beam, and Naphtahim, Heem. Pathrusim and Casluhim. I sure wish he'd name those kids different than that. From whom came the Philistines and Caphtorim. Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, and the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, and the Sinai. Notice in that section he shifts from naming nations to peoples, the ites there, Jebusites, Amorites, Girgashites, Hivites, Arkites, and Sinites, Arvadites, and the Zimmerite, and the Hamathite, after the families of the Canaanites were dispersed. And the border of the Canaanites was from Sidon, as you go toward Gerar, as far as Gaza, then as you go toward Sodom, Gomorrah, Admah, Zeboim, as far as Laisha. These were the sons of Ham, according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands and in their nations. And children were born also to Shem, the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth the elder. That's really not a good way to render that. Japheth was not the elder. Shem was. So it should be, you know, the older brother of Japheth. Whatever, but I'm just telling you that the marginal readings, if you have another translation, probably said, has it right. The sons of Shem were Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. Arphaxad begot Selah, and Selah begot Eber. To Eber were born two sons. The name of the one was Peleg, for in his day the earth was divided. And his brother's name was Joktan. Joktan begot Almadad, Sheleph, Hazar, Mavath, Jira, Hadaram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Himael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. And their dwelling place was from Mesha as you go toward Sefer, the mountain of the east. These are the sons of Shem according to their families, according to their languages, and their lands according to their nations. These are the families of the sons of Noah according to their generations in their nations. And from these the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. Let's pray. Lord, we see your plan go forth here, but not without its complications, because we're dealing with men. So we pray, Lord, that what is left to us here, and we're told in Scripture we should not get all bent out of shape over genealogies. Some look at these things, and Lord, that's all they do. They find gold where none exists. And yet there is, as we look at your word, a purpose for this, even if not a main purpose for us today. But we can see some explanation which helps us in some areas of Scripture. So I pray, Lord, that we would take it that way and not any other way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you were to take your genealogy, which people do today increasingly more, and trace it, and find out where it is you came from, we would be pretty good to get all the way back, say, like into the 1600s. My line that it's been traced for my name gets back into the 1700s, and it's over in Europe, and it's completely different then, I believe. I believe they changed their name once they got here. So it's hard to go back very far. But if you were successful to keep going back, like you were the King of England or something, you could go all the way back and go through all the children and everything that happened. Here's the thing. You would end up with Noah. Every person would end up with Noah. And you would land in one of these three sons of Noah. And I would just guess that we would land more likely in the line of Japheth. Even though some of you live in Canaan, I don't think you would be in the Canaanite thing. I don't believe we would be in the Shem thing. But it could. I mean, after all those years, everything gets mixed up so much. I mean, you just don't know. Things go crossing back and forth and here and there. But you would end up there. Now, after that, if you were to go back before Noah, I mean, there's nearly no, we'll get back to Adam and Eve. But the line, I mean, everything was cut off at Noah and his three sons and their three wives. So you could trace back with the wives and things like that, but once you got to Noah, and you would go all the way to Adam and Eve. And in the time that, up to the time of the flood, we believe that billions of people probably would have been born and populate the earth with an extremely long lifespan. 10 generations from Adam to Noah, a lot of people would have populated the earth. Maybe not as much as today, but it could be a couple of billion. Some people say we have, I think, 7.5 billion on Earth today. I think most of them in India from when I was there. Dr. Thomas said God loves Indians more because he makes more of them. And I guess that may still be the case. But you would come to this point. Now, to that degree, really, there's not a lot more to gain from that. There are a few things mentioned here. And this, you can't see this little map here probably, but you see a green section, you see a red section, and you see a yellow section. In general, the red or pinkish section was where the descendants of Japheth settled. To the north, that would be, up into Greece and, up into European types. Ham And Cush, that would be Ethiopian, that would be Africa, that would be this area down here, into Egypt and around in that. And then the Semites, Shem, in Arabia, in this section here. Now there's some around in various places, but that was generally where it spread out. And so the matter of the Tower of Babel is in the Hamites area, but it's right there in the middle of the Semites, over here in the plain of Shinar to the east. So that's the area we're dealing with. There's nothing different, really, between any one of the three as far as the bloodline. It's just that in the way the Lord chooses, and he chose to bring the Messiah and Israel through the line of Shem, who was the firstborn of Noah. And so you have Shem as, you know, the Arab peoples, and which Abraham was, and so they, you know, that arose from there, speaking of Israel. Ham, remember, was cursed because of his indecent behavior toward Noah. That was because Ham was indecent. Not because he was a good guy and made a mistake one day and just, you know, casually did something, and everyone was very sorry, but he just was that way. And his line was cursed. So Ham, it gets the bottom end of the stick. But as far as Israel is concerned, Ham, or Canaan, one of his sons, was much more prominent. They knew more about Ham and Canaan, the sons of Ham, than they did Japheth when they were about to take over the Promised Land. So the ones in the Promised Land at the time Israel was to cross over, those are Canaanites. That's from the line of Ham, who were cursed because of Ham. And with that came pretty much the cursing of his whole line. But it's not that they didn't act bad. They did, but they had a bad start, and Ham pretty much flavored that. And it's, of course, it's not going to be universal. It's just the way the Lord views these lines. Japheth and Shem are a little bit connected, although not the same. The Gentiles, we talk about Jews and Gentiles. Think of it this way. Noah was, you know, they're the one we would go back to all the way. Shem, Ham, and Japheth were sons of Noah. So they're all the same bloodline. The Gentiles were chosen or specified by those who were not Shem. So Japheth and Ham would be Gentiles, and Shem would be Jews in time. Just the way it worked out. We think of Jewish people today, they have a Jewish heritage. Or an Ethiopian man would have an Ethiopian heritage. He came up from there somehow. European, have a European heritage. But it started off in all in the same place. And, you know, the Lord just chose and divided the nations there. Now, there's one person mentioned in Genesis 10 that is a focus that leads off into the next chapter. Now, all these others, I'm not saying are not important. We're told where they lived, and that's where we get a map like I showed you. But Nimrod, notice verse 8, Cush begot Nimrod. Now remember Cush, look up in verse 6, sons of Ham, or Cush, Mizraim. Mizraim was Egypt later on. And you see these are from the same father, Put and Canaan. So Mizraim, Cush, Put and Canaan. Push would be in Africa. So Mizraim, Egypt, puts like east or west of Egypt, and Canaan, of course, is the promised land. Land that flows with milk and honey. And there were others, but those that's mentioned there. And there were Hittites and all those other ones that dwelt in Canaan. But Cush begot Nimrod. People probably in this time just, they spread out. That was the command. If you look back at chapter 9, verse 1, God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That was the Lord's command to the sons of Noah and Noah. He promised not to destroy the world again by a flood. He gave them everything for food, both animals and plants. And so he laid down some rules about killing and being punished for that. So that was about getting them to settle back in the land because they were just been on the flood. They would probably be wondering if he's going to flood again. Are we in trouble again? They got to settle, trust the Lord, and be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth, which has happened. 7+ billion people worth. It's happened. There's not been a wholesale destruction of people like at the flood, since the flood. So the human increase has continued from that moment after the flood. Several thousand years. We don't have dates. There's not billions of years in the Bible. There are thousands of years. But you know, over the course of a few thousand years that we have, we've gotten where we are now from this start here after the flood. Nimrod distinguishes himself. And most commentators, and I think it's valid to say, Nimrod was not just a mighty hunter or a mighty man, but someone who stood out because of his might and his pride. That he separated himself unto a more widespread territory. He became greater by aggression. And of course, there's nothing wrong with being mighty. All of us men here can be very thankful for that. We'd be in really, really bad shape, wouldn't we? Mighty men is no problem. John Wayne, be John Wayne. But he is tied to, notice in verse 10, the beginning of his kingdom was Babel. Now we know about Babel. That's going to be in chapter 11. Babel, where a great edifice was erected. We'll look at that. He's connected to that. And in verse 11, from that land, he went to Assyria and built Nineveh, Rehoboth, and Calah. He's expanding. He is moving out. He is probably someone we would consider to be like a tyrant who was very aggressive in overcoming others and usurping his own will. The leader of that kind of thing. Because when we get to Babel, chapter 11, this is the kind of act we see take place. This was just after the flood. And you see that when we're talking about these children born, chapter 11 will give us a little bit more about the ages, but the length of life went way down. Whereas we're talking about thousand years, near a thousand years, we'll be talking about 200 and some years now. Although Noah lived 350 years after the flood, it went down after this. And so you've got more in the line of 200 years, and we know that it's gone down to where it is today from that. If you look at chapter 11, verse 32, you see the difference with Terah, which is Abraham's father. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. That's the difference. You've cut off 700 years plus already. And this is probably because of the atmospheric conditions and the things after the flood. So that's going down. But it was just after the flood. Let's peep over into chapter 11, verse 1. Some things, by the way, it mentions languages in chapter 10. Is looking ahead to after what happens in chapter 11. They were not languages before that, because verse 1 says, now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And by the way, since the Bible says that is the case, we're assured by modern archaeologists and scientists and geologists or whatever, that this is in no way what happened. Because we started off, this was our first language. Whatever apes and gorillas do. That's what was our first thing. Then it got into, I mean, it just went up like that. None of this is believed. But verse 1 tells us that the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And that would be east of Israel, but traveling east from the other regions where everything started, that they came upon this plain of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And this is not everybody, but a group got there. And then there was this, they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come and let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. We take you right back to chapter 9 again. Verse 1. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now go back to where we are. Verse 4. What do they say? Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered over the face of the whole earth. Let's make sure we do something to keep from fulfilling the command of God as soon as we got off the ark on dry ground. And it's not long after. We're told, back in chapter 10 again, in the area of Shem's line, that one of his sons, Peleg, was named that. His name means a canal or a channel. Peleg, in his days, the earth was divided. So in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided, which seems to point ahead to this chapter 11 and the dividing of the nations by languages. So we're talking about 100 years or so until the Tower of Babel. It could be, some say, 200 years, and I've seen people say as much as 345 or 50 years. And it could be that Peleg was, if he lived 200 years and in his days the earth was divided, that it could be 300 years to the Tower of Babel. But it seems like he was named that because of that. It may be around 100 years. So 100 years, and in 100 years, of course, the Lord, remember, was working here for the replenishing of the earth. And they were to be fruitful and multiply, and that is what they were doing. That's what the Lord was blessing. And there were a lot of sons and a lot of people who were doing that. So because of that, it was going to increase. And so in 100 years, you'd have quite a bit more increase. And then as they journeyed, they said, we really want to keep a name for ourselves. We don't want to spread out over the whole earth. We want to make something that is going to keep us together and a monument to our greatness. And I think the big sin of the Tower of Babel is not building. It's not like skyscrapers are wrong. It's rebellion against God, because they're seeking their own name instead of the will of God. God made a covenant with Noah. They were to be fruitful and multiply, and they didn't. They stopped and settled. And they said, let's all get together in this one place. How many of the whole world was there? It wasn't everybody. But it was a significant rebellion against God. And it was during the life of Noah. Noah was still alive while this was taking place. So they build this tower, this place, a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Some have conjectured that, not trusting God's promise that he would never again send a flood, is they were making a tower that would be above the floodwaters. I mean, way, 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 way up, and where it wouldn't be, you know, they'd be safe. I don't see how that would have been their purpose, because if they knew anything about the flood, they knew it was over the mountains, and they wouldn't build a tower above that. So, not that. But so they build this tower. They make bricks, make it solid. It's obviously a solid thing. I've heard all kinds of things about why Babel was a Tower of Babel was a sin. But some said it was because when they went up to when they were building the tower, that they were mistreating the workers, and they were protecting them as they went up because they had bricks, but when they came down, they were just knocking them off the edge because they didn't have anything that they used there anyway, and they were in the way. But that's just conjecture and, you know, really frivolous thoughts. But here we are with that fact. They're building this tower, and the Lord, verse 5, comes down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. That's figurative language for us, the Lord coming down. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the people, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. So, Babel, the Tower of Babel, this big tower that was made in rebellion against God, and the Lord comes down and says, you know, I'm not going to put up with this. Why were they judged in the first place? Welcome, by the way. Why were they judged in the first place? Before the flood. They had rebelled against God. They had all gone their own way. They had mixed up in the nations, and everything was against God. And so no one followed the Lord anymore. And the Lord judged the world. He said he wouldn't do it again that way, but he did come down and stop this. Now, I wish that would have happened when they started with this broccoli thing. Once they started with broccoli, everybody said, let's make this broccoli. And so they made a factory for it, and they planted seed for it, and they had all these workers for it, and they watered the field. And the Lord never came down and said, no, 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 no. So what do we have today? Broccoli. Even more. It should have been stopped for spinach. Oh. I don't like broccoli, but I think I would like it more than spinach. That was cooked, you know, spinach. Didn't stop it for that. I wish that someone would have said when they started taxing people, no, we're not going to do that. No way we're going to have taxes. No, but they didn't stop that. You know, and so here, goes on. I talked to the neighbor today. I was out walking, and when I got back, the neighbor was over there. Not the neighbor living there, but her mother. And she said, that was wisteria back there. Oh, that was wisteria. We cut those azaleas back there. That wisteria was everywhere. She said, I'll not ever have a place again that has wisteria. And a sweet lady that lived next door, before she died, she was the one that started the wisteria in our area. And that, boy, it took off. And I love wisteria when it's blooming and smells good, but it chokes everything, runs around everywhere. I had it that big around back there running up a pine tree. And she said, I'll not ever have any of that stuff. I don't want any vines at all, she said. Well, somebody starts those things. So the Lord, as the people chose to rebel again and be one language and one heart and one mind and build a tower to the heavens, of course, that's hyperbolic. You can't go that high. But the point is to make a monument for our own works. And it has always been the madness of sinners to believe that they can triumph over the Lord. And that is what the devil, we're told, did. Is that he said, I will be like the Most High, and he sought to go up all the way. And we always think like that, and then we get away from God, that we can confound God, trick God. The Jews, when they had their idol worship, they would hide their idols in a cave, and they would say, God can't see. There's always been that. So when these people come to this plain, they got all this room, and they said, well, let's just stay here. Let's not follow the command of God and spread out. Let's just stay right here. And we'll make a name for ourselves. We'll make a tower. We'll rally around the tower. We'll just be one people, one united people in sin, basically, because they're rebelling against God's plan to repopulate the earth. And the Lord says, if we allow this, it says us there in verse 7, which is an indication, as it was in Genesis 1, of the Trinity, let us make man in our image, that the Godhead converses among themselves, and they say, well, you know, we can't allow this because it'll just get even worse. We just dealt with the rebellion. We'll scatter them another way. So since they wouldn't scatter by command, the Lord scattered them by language. Every once in a while, you can go by a television program, change a channel, and somebody's speaking a language you don't understand. What do you do? Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah, right. No, you get right on by that. Because what are you going to do with it? You're not going to be able to understand it. Closed captioning, oh, you could read it, but if you wanted to read TV, you could do that. But so he confounded their language, and it says, verse 8, they ceased building the city. It became a failure. Babel literally means confusion. It is where we get Babylon, which Babylon is more than just a city or a landmass in the Bible. If you get to Revelation, Babylon is the spirit of rebellion against God. It starts right here. And it ends in Revelation. It ends when this world ends. But you see the spirit of that today. God says, this is what I want. And what do people say? This is what we want. And God says, this is what would please me most. And people say, well, this is what would please me most. And they do what pleases them. Remember, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And that's the basic nature of sin. But they did all this within 100 years of the flood, at the least amount, within 100 years of the flood. But that's not really that surprising. When did the children of Israel rebel against the Lord after they left Egypt and through the 10 plagues and through the Red Sea on dry ground? On the other side. They got through the Red Sea and got to the other side by a miracle, and they go through water on both sides, the Bible says, mounting up on both sides. They go through on dry ground. Egypt doesn't make it. And they're on the other side. And they rebel then. That's the nature of humans. And I said Sunday, the first step to being made well is to admit how sick we are without the righteousness of Christ on our account. We're a mess. And it's noted here in this passage. We'll stop there. The next section connects all this to Abraham. And from there, we'll get to Abram at this time. He became Abraham later. But you'll see it gets back to Shem. Shem is only given a little bit of space there at the end of chapter 10, that none of them have a whole lot because it's a selective genealogy. But when we get to the end of chapter 11, you see that it runs it up to Terah and Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And then, you know, chapter 12, we talk about the covenant with Abraham. And so that's the outlay here. The people who reject Genesis chapters reject it all the way through chapter 11. In chapter 12, Abraham, they'll pick up there, Abram. But the whole first 11 chapters of Genesis, they just want to throw right out the window. And they, in their minds, do. Although you can't do it in actuality because it's what happened and it's of God. And there's no way you can avoid it, just as there was no way for them to avoid God's rule over them when they tried to build the Tower of Babel. Any comments or thoughts you have on this?